Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host, Steve Boghetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Hey, Bark Radio listeners. What are we talking about today, Terry? I've got one. How
we
many
got,
you got?
I got two.
Okay, who's going first?
You can go first.
Okay, cool. There's a really cool lady in Jersey named Laurel...
Laurel, hmm?
Laurel Popple? We're going to go with that pronunciation. She's got a fabulous place called Seer Farms, SEERfarms.org. What she is doing is she's helping pet owners, dog and cat owners, who are having a hard time, often because of the economy, not have to give their dogs up for adoption or possibly for euthanasia. It has this little business on 3 acres, and if a person contacts her, and apparently if she has space, she will keep their dog or their cat for an extended period of time until they get back on their feet. Now, how cool is that?
That's really neat.
I think it's
really,
fabulous.
Really neat.
And it cracks me up in here. It's like I was looking to figure out how much it costs, and she suggests a monthly fee of $50 an animal.
Hardly covers the food.
But accepts whatever owners can afford. Yeah. So she's seriously in this for people who are struggling. She also has helped folks who are military and who are being deployed. There was an example in here of, a Navy guy, and whoever was going to keep his dogs, that fell through. And he would have had to have given his dogs up as he was leaving the country to go to Afghanistan. And how cool that he didn't have to do that.
I mean, that would have been heartbreaking.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. And, you know, great story in here of a gentleman who went through a divorce. Finances were just completely foobarred. And his German Shepherd's been with Laura for a year. And he and his kids go and visit for like a half a day every weekend. How wonderful is
that?
That's
nice, yeah.
She's keeping families and their pets together in a very special way.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. That's very cool.
I love this program.
We should try and get her on an interview.
I think we should, too. Yeah. And in the meantime, guys, if you want to read more about Laura's program, it's SEERfarms.org. Check her out. She's doing good stuff. And, you know, I hope this sort of thing's going on all over the country because it is a tough time for pets.
Yeah, I know there's a couple folks I've seen articles on.
Mm-hmm.
Not enough.
Never.
Especially if you just look at the folks in the military.
Oh, I know.
I mean, that's got to be heartbreaking. You're going off for whatever tour duty in a year, 2 years, whatever it is, and then have to put your pet down.
And oftentimes, you know, there are couples, and they're both being deployed.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, it's the kind of program that we need more of in this country. I'm delighted that it exists at all. So bravo to
exactly,
doing this.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, man. Your turn.
So did you know that dog bites aren't related to breed?
Son of a gun.
My response was no.
Yeah, I got that. wow, somebody actually like said that out loud other than us?
Yeah. Well, yeah, they actually did a formal study.
Wowzer.
And there's a piece that's kind of ironic around it, because it was done at the University of Colorado in Denver.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Denver, those with that really nasty BSL law.
Yeah,
specific legislation.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, discrimination.
Yeah, Really?
Yeah, yeah. That just came out on the 9th of November.
Really?
Yeah, breed has nothing to do with it.
Well, no.
Has to do with, and I quote... Hold on a minute. Wait for it. Hereditary, early experience, socialization, training, health, and victim behavior.
Bingo!
And again, I say no. I'm not sure this is you know, really should be all that surprising, but I'm glad to see it in a formal study.
Well, it has to be. Maybe then... What needs to happen is everybody needs to read this.
Yeah, oh,
everybody
I've been posting
needs to know
the
about
crap
it.
Out
oh,
of this.
Man, because folks don't believe it. I was having a conversation just a few days ago with a woman who is a physical therapist, and we were having somehow a conversation about dogs, and she went down that rabbit hole, the whole thing about how horrible pit bulls are.
And the Jeopardy question today is...
How do I turn my phone off really quickly? I'm dragging it down. It's a droid. Okay, we're good to go, folks. Sorry about that. It's telling me I'm supposed to be somewhere else. Oh, well. At any rate, yeah. Anyway, she went down the rabbit hole of, well, you know, I would never have a pit bull in my home with my children. And I'm like, you know, you're an idiot. I actually didn't say that. But I tried to explain to her why that was not true. And it is terribly hard to change people's perception. They really have ingrained beliefs that certain breeds are dangerous breeds. And thank you to the news media for making that happen, because that's all you ever hear about a Rottie or a Pitty or whatever. You hear about it when one of them bites an idiot.
Yeah. And there's lots of idiots out there.
Yeah.
Actually, a lot of it, and this is one thing they're talking about, it's... the study also talks about the victims. It's typically it's young children under nine, and typically it's not. In most cases, the bites are not life threatening.
Right.
They're a snap to the face.
Right.
So there's, you know,
there's a ding.
There's a ding, and you know, face bites are no fun, especially for children. But based on the children I know, most of them are the cause of the bite. You know,
it's about management.
Yeah,
it's about where's managing the parents? Your home. That's exactly right.
You know, if the parents were doing their job and not sitting in front of the TV or, you know, pick whatever they were doing, and some of it may be legitimately busy, but nonetheless, you have children and you have dogs.
Right. And the dogs have teeth, and children have a tendency to just be all over dogs and in their faces, and they're loud and squealy and runny and, you know, and the dog's going, whoa,
really,
get out of my face.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a training thing. Yeah. You know, if you have young children in your home and you have a dog in your home, train them how to be with each other. And I'll tell you, talk about, I have a ding right there on my hand. I was working today in my trainer, wearing my trainer hat, with a year-old Labrador Retriever who is very enthusiastic, and we're working on the fact that she's pretty darn mouthy. She never would mean to hurt anyone, but the reason that I'm working with this particular client is to get rid of the mouthy, jumpy puppy in her. And she did. She nailed me with her teeth. She didn't bite me, but it broke the skin,
right.
You know? And she just needs to learn self-control. She doesn't have any. So that's almost always the case, you know, when it's a big dog and a little kid or big dog and a person. They're enthusiastic. They have big teeth. And if one of them scrapes you, or if you surprise one of them and they go, wow, because they have a mouth.
A paw,
yeah, or a
or
tail
poke
or something.
An eye,
yeah.
Or, I mean,
yeah, it's just stuff. And it has been just so over publicized as, you know, oh, these are horrible dogs, bad breed, get rid of them all. It's crap. So yay for the study.
Yeah, there's some interesting data coming out, and it's not just this study, but there's other data and other things happening, which I don't know that it will make, you know, a dramatic change in people's thoughts because of the media being so, you know, over-enthusiastic about blaming a breed that they don't, one, can't identify, and two, don't understand.
Right.
But recently in the UK, there was a little girl that was badly bitten by a Springer Spaniel. And because of the way the Dangerous Dog Act is written, no actions are taken against the owner or the dog.
Wow.
Because it's a Springer Spaniel.
But if that had been a Staffordshire Terrier...
Yeah. Pick a dog with a square head and it suddenly becomes a pit.
And that dog would have been hauled off.
Right.
And either killed or put in solitary confinement.
Probably hauled off and then fought over for years, and then the dog had been so screwed up.
Only because it was not a bully breed, or didn't look like a bully breed.
Well, they couldn't do anything. She was having a fit. The mother was having a fit, and the police said, can't do anything about it.
Based on the law.
Here's the law. It doesn't include that breed.
How nuts is this?
So, right there, and there's lots of our friends are working. You know, Maria Danes is working hard to get that law thrown out because it is breed specific. It's about, you want a fairly based dangerous dog, breed independent law. So if the dog does something bad, doesn't matter what breed it is.
You look at that particular case, and you deal with that.
Right. And so there's movement there, and there's people going, really? Because along those same lines, Australia has added a new dog to their dangerous dog list.
And that dog is?
Chihuahua. Based on number of bites being reported.
Wow.
So a lot of people think big dog equal big bite.
Or many bites. Right.
And so now the Chihuahua's on this list.
Oh, that's hysterical. And we've been saying this ever since we've had Bark Radio going, that watch out, it'll be your breed next.
Yeah.
I wonder if Chihuahua owners ever anticipated that happening in Australia.
Yeah. Oh, well, they're not banning them.
Right.
But they're,
they're added to the dangerous dog.
Insurance will go up and all those things because now it's a quote-unquote dangerous dog.
Wow.
So I think that the pimple's about ready to pop, so
it's
to speak,
like
because
it.
There's a lot of people going, you know, this isn't working.
Right. So let's do something else.
Yeah. So let's think this through. Now, in that same breath, I see, you know, 10 little podunk cities across the U.S., you know, banning something.
Right.
Because they can and they're ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's still happening.
Right.
But there's changes. There's people thinking.
Maybe there's a tide that's going to go the other direction.
I'm hoping.
Hopefully. Yeah.
I'm hoping.
Because this stuff's just stupid. But that's fabulous, man. So we've got the link to
the
study.
We'll post
that.
I haven't seen the full formal study,
right.
But it's a really good article.
Excellent. So we'll share that with you guys. This is good news, Terry.
Yeah, it is. It is really good news. I mean, I think it's the turning wave.
Hope so, man.
And then the one last thing, we'll post the link up for this, too. I saw a really interesting study. Well, it wasn't a study. It was a conversation or a news article around a study that they're doing. And tied in the same day, I saw that HBO was doing a special on this. And it's on post-traumatic stress disorder and veterans and dogs.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really cool. So there's a really interesting article. And the article, or the interview storyline, whatever the heck you want to call it. It's because it's a video.
Mm-hmm.
It's 10 minutes talking to a couple of vets.
Mm-hmm.
One guy really touched me because this dude, he came back from Iraq after a couple tours of duty and was just angry and punching things and just out of control until he went to a bully breed rescue.
And he got himself a dog.
And now he has a service dog.
And now he's way better, I'll bet.
Yeah, and he's preaching the word.
This is
out there, and he's like, you know, I would have killed somebody.
Were it not for this dog.
Yeah.
Now, and so that means that every single vet who has PTSD should have a service dog. They should.
Yeah. One of the disturbing facts from that story was that 8 vets a day commit suicide.
Oh, it breaks my heart.
The highest of any war.
Oh my gosh. It tears me up.
These guys are out there, or these people, not just guys and girls, out there giving their all for
and
us.
And then coming back and not having any alternative, it seems, to them.
Right.
And they take their own lives.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an awful thing, and it gives me chills. I didn't realize the numbers were so high.
Yeah, it's huge.
And so, more dogs, faster, better, more now. We got to do it. We
got to do it.
Got to start making it happen more. And I'm not sure how to identify the people who need them, but
they have information.
Okay,
there's
cool.
links and sources,
cool,
and
cool, cool.
And if you need help,
excellent.
If you're a vet who needs help, there's, you know, toll lines, support lines for this,
right.
And you know, I think through those same links, you can probably figure out once you have a program for service dogs to get them there. So
how you connect them with the right people.
Yeah, to get it all together.
It's a huge need, and that should not be happening. And since the Veterans Administration will only do X, they are doing some dogs, but they're not doing anywhere near enough. There just need to be more private sector programs.
There do. That, yeah. I agree. I mean, that's, you know that. I'm passionate about this.
Yeah.
And
we'll get involved in this as soon as we can, because it's got to happen.
Yeah,
these guys need dogs.
The kudos to the VA is, one, they're supportive of it. They're
absolutely.
doing what they can and what they got.
They're not well funded.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they put out documents that support the program, which is key. Now
it's
you
huge.
Just need private sector people to start stepping up and say, look, we can do this.
Yeah.
And if you can do, well, if you do 8 dogs a year, that's 8 people you've saved.
Exactly. Exactly, from themselves.
Right, and if you use shelter dogs like I want to, mm-hmm. then that's eight dogs you've saved, too.
Right. So, again, one of those fabulous win-win situations.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we've just all got to do more for yeah. this, because our veterans deserve everything that we can do to help them.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because when the government can't, we have to, and our dogs can help them.
Yep.
All right, darling. So we've got our work cut out for us.
Yeah.
And so, folks, if there's as we go along, is when we know ways for you to get involved to help us help veterans with service dogs, we'll let you know. Okay.
All right, guys, we're out of here.
Bye.